something new on Easter, especially for the sunrise service, because we've all heard the stories, and we all know the stories because they're such sweet stories. But this morning, we're going to look over the story again, and perhaps I can share some things that I've thought about that maybe you haven't thought about yet. But I call this message Sun, S-U-N-Rise, Sunrise, one word, / S-O-N, / Risen. Sunrise, Sun Risen. And that's what we're celebrating this morning. And so let's turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And we're going to look at this story. And there's some things here in this 16th chapter that we can make some applications for our own selves. Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 1, verses 1 through 8. And read along in your Bibles with me, if you will. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said amongst themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed with a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you to Galilee, and there shall ye see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were affrighted. For almost 2,000 years, that story has been told among Christians, among believers. And it is the basis upon which we have remission of our sins. This morning, I'd like us to consider some aspects of this that perhaps you may not have thought about. We'll begin about thinking about the three ladies who were approaching the tomb. Now, Connie and I have lived in that part of the world for some time, a couple of years in Turkey, and then several sessions in the Saudi Arabia area. And all across that area, they have a way of doing things and dealing with things. And so as we think about it, we'll think about the three ladies and the mission that they were on. 3 days before, they had suffered such awful anguish as they stood there and watched the one they loved so much be nailed to the cross. The nails driven through the hands, the nail driven through the feet. And they had stood there and watched as he slowly suffocated on that cross while bleeding from the nail wounds. They were there when the cross was picked up and hoisted up and dropped into the hole. That was what they were there for, was to see him die. Now, the ordeal began on that Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. And by 3 o'clock, Jesus had given up the ghost and had died. It was all over. Dusk was coming. The Passover preparation was coming. And so they knew that they could not perform anything on his body because of the Passover and because of the Sabbath. And so they were going to have to wait until the first day of the week before they could do anything. Normally they would wash the body, they would anoint it with different spices and things, and then it would be placed in the tomb. They could not do any of that. And so they were coming, sorrowing of heart, remembering what had happened on that Thursday, how they had stood there, how their hearts had broken. They were coming still with broken hearts to the tomb to do a job that it was not a pleasant one, especially in that part of the world where it's warm and, and it had been 3 days, and it would not smell good around there. And so that was the way they were anticipating. They were anticipating a very unpleasant job that they were going to have to do. This is the setting for the scripture that we just read. Three women, sorrowing, coming to wash and embalm a battered and bruised body. This was the scene as they approached the sepulcher. A sepulcher, of course, is a place where they put bodies. But this morning, it was not a sepulcher. It was a cave. For there was no body there. And so as they came up, think of the mental state. They were preparing themselves. They had steeled themselves for this unpleasant task. And when they got there, there was no one, no body to perform the task. God, by his grace, did not leave them wondering. They looked in the tomb, and there was a young man sitting where the body had lain. God sent one of his angels to relieve their minds. The body hadn't been stolen and discarded someplace. He had risen. Now, I'd like you to note at this point something unusual, a little bit. The ladies were quick to believe the angel when he told them that Jesus had risen. The men, on the other hand, when the ladies went and told them, were not so quick to believe. In fact, they did not believe. And so, even though Jesus had told the men that he would rise, the men didn't believe it. The ladies, when they told them the news, they were not believed. It's recorded in Mark, next few verses, Mark 16, 9 through 11. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first unto Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Wow. Greatest thing to ever happen in the world. And they didn't believe to begin with. You know, this is Easter morning, and could this be the same reason that people are not involved in churches, because they too do not believe that Jesus rose from the dead? I think it may have a lot to do with it. Do you think that sin and conviction of sin might make them uncomfortable when they are around people who believe that Jesus rose again? It's a possibility. One thing for sure, Jesus died for the sins of the world. And he is no longer dead because he rose again from the grave. You would think that people might want to be around someone who has had this experience, or someone who knows about someone who has had this experience. For us today, it's a very special day. It's a day that we can reaffirm the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And for most of the people of the world, this is just another day. Like I said, Connie and I have lived in countries where they do not celebrate Easter or Christmas, anything to do with Jesus. And for most of the world, this is just another day. For many, they feel required to go to church by their denomination on this day. This is the best attended day for church in this country of the year. More people attend church on Easter morning than any other day of the year. And they do it for two reasons. One is to show off their new clothes and hats. There are a lot of churches where ladies still wear hats. Or they go to get a church bulletin that they can put in their Bible and carry the all year long just to show people how religious they are. But that's the two main reasons they go. You know, how sad that the greatest event in the history of the world can be misunderstood by those who do not know the one that rose from the dead, the one we celebrate this morning. There's ample evidence that Jesus arose. We have the testimony of many witnesses, again in Mark, as we read on in Mark 16, beginning at verse 14. It says, afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had been seen of him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Thus we have our commission from our Master as to what we are to do with the balance of our lives. Now, I know that it says right here, he that believeth and is baptized. Baptism is not necessary to salvation. I want you to understand that. That's a work. That's also simply a testimony. The thief on the cross was never baptized, but yet Jesus promised him, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. So baptism is not necessary for salvation. It is simply a testimony, a public testimony of what has taken place in the believer's heart. Today we have the same commission that Jesus gave his disciples that we just read about in Mark 16. We're to go and to tell others about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's our job today. We have loved ones who may not be believers. They need to be told today that he rose again and that we really believe that. We must not wait, because we don't know when he will come back. He is coming back. We have that promise. And so we don't know when he's going to come back. And so we want to make sure we tell them about the resurrection before it's too late. Now, if they have heard of his resurrection, if they have heard about Jesus and what he came and did, and they do not believe, and he comes back for his church, for his bride, it will be too late for them. Those who have not heard, they still have a chance. But for everyone who has heard and not believed and not put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be too late. For all of us who have received Jesus as our Savior, this is a day that we celebrate. It's a day when life began for us, because we were dead, but now are we alive in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 22 says this, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. We must remember on this Easter morning that we were dead and didn't know it. We thought that we had life, but all we really had was sin. When Jesus rose from the dead, he provided life to all who would believe. Jesus fanned a spark of life in our souls into the fire of God, burning in our hearts. And it's this fire of God that we want to celebrate this morning. It's this fire of God we want to see spread across the world. There are places where they are experiencing revival. China, India, Taiwan. Some of the Muslim countries are actually seeing many souls saved, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, we have brothers and sisters scattered throughout all these nations. And they, too, are celebrating with us the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't serve a dead idol or God of stone or wood. We serve a living Savior who suffered death, and he suffered that for you and I to take care of our sin. And then he rose again from the dead that we might have eternal life, that we in him have the promise that one day we too will be resurrected. We're no longer shackled by a mortal body, but we'll enjoy and experience the unshackling and mobility of an immortal body which will be given to us in a future day. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not just a fact in history. It's a fact of life, and it can have a profound effect on each one of us if we'll simply believe. Because we're told in the 10th chapter of Romans that belief in the resurrection is what saves us, and it's what saves each individual. In Romans 10, verses 8 through 11, let me read that. Romans 10, verses 8 through 11. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. If you're saved or born again this morning, then you've done this very thing. You have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have believed that God raised him from the dead. If you've never done this, this morning would be a good time to do it. Easter would be a great day to be saved and born again. For the last 2,000 years, men have been placing their trust and their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that a mistake? No, it's not. This is part of becoming a Christian, being born again, becoming a child of God. Most of the world consider us to be living on superstition and not based on reality. They've never been a part of the reality of faith. The kind of faith that we're living before them is foreign to their understanding, and they dismiss us as fools. Actually, they dismiss us as kooks. Now, that's a biblical word for a fanatic. Kooks. We're all kooks. Let's look at what the Apostle Paul told the church at Colossae. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's a promise, folks. A promise to every believer. When Christ comes back, we will go to be with him. So let me ask you, if you had been with Mary at the tomb that early morning, would you be living any differently today? Would you be doing things differently because you would have a different perspective on the resurrection of Christ? Remember that the disciples didn't believe when she told them about the resurrection. I have to believe that part of the problem today is that people don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They think it's a superstition. They don't think it's an actual fact. They don't think it ever happened. They believe that we are following a fable. They believe that when you're dead and it's all over. They do not realize that this is just a prelude to a wonderful life that will never end. A life that will be spent with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ. They forget that we are celebrating the resurrection because somebody did come back to life from the dead. And that was Jesus. This morning, we're assembled here to praise Jesus for the greatest gift ever given to mankind, the gift of new life in Christ. Many thousands, even hundreds of thousands of people will be in church this morning because that's where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to do on Easter Sunday. But we're here this morning for a different reason. We're here this morning because we are celebrating the resurrection of our Savior, our Lord, and our King. I'm sure that the fact that we're going to have breakfast has nothing to do with any of you folks being here. I'm just so glad that I can tell you with absolute assurance Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. I know he did because I have seen him in my heart. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you have seen him in your hearts. I know, too, that when this life is over, I'm going to spend eternity with him. When your life is over, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you too are going to spend eternity with him. That's what we are celebrating this morning, is the promise of eternal life that he gave us when 2,000 years ago he rose from the dead. I'm really glad for the born-again child of God that we can have eternal life, that we can have an eternal future with the ones that we love, the ones who have gone on from this life before us, and the ones who will come after us. I close with the words of Jesus when he said to his disciples, and it's recorded in John 15, verses 13 through 17. John 15, 13 through 17. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Let's pray. Father, what a great day. What a great fact of history. Father, what a great fact and reality that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died for our sins, was buried, and today we celebrate the fact that death could not contain him, but that he rose from the dead. That is what we celebrate today. Thank you, Father, for telling us all about this in your word. Now, Father, we pray that we will hide it in our hearts that we might tell others and share with others the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank you that we have had time to meet together here this morning. Bless our activities here throughout this morning. May you be glorified. May your will be done in each life. And we will praise you for all that you do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a closing hymn. Hallelujah. What a